Hi, I'm Courtney Carthy. I'm the host of a new podcast out now called Post Pandemic. It's all about what things might be like around the world in different industries, in different cultures after the pandemic has passed. Hopefully, it's sooner rather than later. Search for Post Pandemic where you're listening to this now.
Went to Bunnings, as you know.
Again.
I know. But, you know, we're doing it. We're standing on the dots in the line. We're washing our hands before we go in. We're washing our hands on the way out, doing all the right things. You know, So it's all legal. And as we're walking in, Selena says to me, you've got a leaf in your hair. And she goes to pull out the leaf off the top of my head, and it's a piece of cheese.
Where'd that come from?
Well, this is the sad part. I did have a cheese and lettuce sandwich before we left, and somehow a piece of cheese has ended up on my head. It's just goes to show I'm getting old, I'm getting sad, I'm doing all this. But how did I not? I looked in the mirror before I left. I didn't see a piece of cheese there. It wasn't a huge bit of cheese. It was probably about the size of your finger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's just, you know. Do you ever do things like that? I tell you what's happened to me lately. I've got a new pair of jeans, and when I put both hands in my pockets and walk down the street, my fly comes undone.
I've got to say, I'm intrigued by your choice of sandwich, cheese and lettuce.
Cheese and lettuce.
Well, is it like is it thick cheese or is it just like a cheese slice?
It's a cheese slice.
Yeah, I find cheese slices not enough cheese sometimes. I do. Not enough cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
What you're saying, if you're having a sandwich, isn't that what they're made for? A slice of cheese in your. So you're saying you should double up on your cheese?
Yeah, cut some from a block. That's what I like. Or grate the cheese, even better. Ooh.
That's like the Italian kids used to have in primary school. They come with a big fat piece of bread and.
I was jealous of those kids. I was just the bogan, like you Anglo-Saxon kid, and I had just had peanut butter sandwiches. I was jealous of those kids.
Vegemite, peanut butter was a standard issue.
But I don't find it satisfying enough, even though I've got to say, once you have a cheese and lettuce sandwich, they're quite good, aren't they? They're quite good.
Well, the contrast between the two is lovely. The reason we had is that we were going out at about, I don't know, 12:30, and we hadn't had lunch, and we knew that while we were there, we were going to get hungry. So it was a precautionary sandwich.
Yeah,
so your blood sugars don't go low, and you get a bit lightheaded while you're going around.
Bunnings, you got to be prepared for Bunnings.
Oh God, because there's a lot of footwork in Bunnings. You know, if you go from gardening up to paints, that's nearly a 5 minute walk.
I have to tell everyone, the last time I rang you, you were in IKEA, which.
Well, no, but that was the day, and I don't know, maybe I could go to jail for this. That was the day we did Bunnings, Spotlight, and IKEA.
And my wife calls you the death wish. What's the death wish? Where's the death wish today?
Let's roll the dice on that. Well, Selena's made face masks, and she wears one, and she made one for me, and I've got such an odd-looking shaped head.
Yeah.
It didn't fit me properly, and I can't wear mine. So I just do the right things. I quite enjoy standing on the dots because you've got your dots that you stand on.
Yeah.
In the line.
Yeah.
I find it quite reassuring. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then it's like paying part of the military or something.
I got plastic screens up at the local IGA now, which weren't there 2 weeks ago. So.
And you're self-packing as well, obviously.
Self-packing. Makes it harder to rob them.
I put the bananas on the bottom the other day. That was stupid.
No,
don't put bananas on the bottom. You've got to work it out, don't you? And they're not going to help you. Because we're a good packer. Selena's a good packer. She will, you know, put fruit and veg together. She'll never always wait for the eggs to go on top. You know, throw it in as it comes.
I used to pack professionally in the supermarket in the 80s. So we were back in the days of paper bags. When I worked at Dickens Supermarket at Brentford Square, which was taken over by Coles. And it was like a Tucker bag. Remember Tucker bag? Where do you get it?
The talking. That was the bag that used to talk.
Yes. Yes. And then, so he was a talking paper bag. And then he appeared on the side of plastic bags when they got rid of the paper ones. Like he was signaling his own demise. Oh, no, I'm fine. Mate, that's like you appearing on the side of your own coffin, mate. Like, where do you get it? Tucker and his family.
Yeah. Well, part of you doesn't understand that that's what you are. You're gone. You're finished. Yeah.
Here's the music.
No, really. Thank God for that. Yeah,
thank God for the music.
Somehow related, and now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Welcome to the podcast. Hey, we are Zooming. Podcast.
We forgot to acknowledge 100 episodes.
I know. People put that on our Facebook group, and it was a big moment.
Look, you know why, though? It's because we were lost in the frenzy of coronavirus.
The virus.
And we didn't know, we were unaware of our numbers. And, I mean, what would we have done for 100? Do you get a letter from someone? I mean, do you get a letter from...
Letter from the Queen.
Queen or something? You know.
100 years, 100 episodes of podcast. Do you get a letter from the King or Queen of podcasting? I don't even know who that is.
I think Hamish and Andy may well acknowledge you on their podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is the equivalent of getting a letter from the Queen. Yeah. Or Joe Rogan.
Or Mark Maron. Yeah, they're the big ones in America.
They're the big ones. Yeah. So we may well get some sort of reference that we've made it to 100. That's pretty good. And we should thank all our listeners for sticking with us for 100. Maybe you're just joining us now at 100. But very proud to have done 100. Well, you know what? It only seems like about 90, but 100? Yeah. Okay, that's good. anyway, so I don't know what this must be like 104. Imagine
that. That's probably 50 burgers between me and you. In that, think of it that way.
Never thought of it like that.
Yeah, well, at least 40 because you've got to take away these.
Because we only have one burger between two people.
Yeah, but also we have one burger per two episodes. So, in fact, that's only 20 burgers. That's not impressive at all.
Started out strong. Sounded good to start. Now it's just gone down to 20 boots. Hey, I'm hearing birds in the background. I'm liking that. It's adding a nice flavour. You're in the backyard.
I'm in the backyard because I've got the three kids. At any point, all three of them could be on Zoom classes. So, you know, it's Zoom and Doom in there. You just don't know what's going on.
Does it suck you dry as far as you're online? Does that mean that we could drop out at some point?
Probably. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, computers. Okay. It's certainly sucking my brain out, that's for sure. All the... It's like being an uncle.
Dad.
My daughter was just showing me some science questions about the heating point of barium and lithium. I'm like, I have no idea what that means. So, more humanities, Glenn. Yeah. All right, we should get our topic. So we get two topics. We've got to work out how they're related.
Yeah, exciting.
All right, what are they, Sam?
Donuts and a ship's steering wheel.
What?
Yeah.
Ship's steering wheel.
Quite specific,
isn't
it? Not
just a ship.
Not just a ship.
Yeah.
Ship steering
Not just
wheel.
A ship. A ship steering wheel.
Well, let's start with donuts. How good are donuts?
Let's start with donuts. Oh. I was thinking about donuts the other day because, you know, we have death row meal, which is for you and I, schnitz and Schnitzel. Chips. Is it salad? Chips?
Well, I actually thought it was your partner's rizzoni or risotto.
No, mine was risotto, and we always, and I couldn't work out why you were laughing at me, and you were laughing at me because. If I was in jail for something that bad, she wouldn't be hanging around to make me risotto.
She would have moved on.
Laughing at?
Sweetheart, you have a call from the San Quentin Penitentiary.
And
Glenn.
I would say, for all those years, you've got one more risotto in you, you know, just for old times. Like, I'll be out of your life, you know, in the morning, you know.
Also, you'll ring the home and a man will answer the phone. You know, who's this?
It'll be an Italian man, I reckon, because, you know, he'd be loving your risotto.
Yeah. Hello.
I was thinking if I had a death row snack, because they might, you know, just say, I don't know, what time do you get done? You get done pretty early in the morning, don't you?
I think you do. So but you're right. You might not go the meal. You might just go a morning tea.
So you might, I don't really feel like a full meal. I'd go, how many? Four? Three. I'd go three hot jam donuts and an extra hot latte.
Nice.
Imagine
the prison guard making your hot latte. He wants it hot. Okay, all right. He wants it hot. That'd be good. Yeah, well, I love donuts too. I don't know. I like coffee scrolls though as well. I love a coffee scroll.
Good. So if they had a choice on death row, you'd get a coffee scroll over donut?
think I might. Even though I wouldn't mind one of each. Is that too greedy? You're about to die?
Do you think that there'd be a clash, though? Do you think, would you, okay, what would you finish with? What would your last bite be?
So my
last
think donut. Bite would be, I reckon be donut.
Yeah, and you'd save a bit of jam till the end. Would you save the jam? Do you go early on the jam or do you go later on the jam?
No, I go early on the jam. I split the donut in half and try and get jam on every piece. Do you split the donut in half?
No, I go in via the hole, though. I always bite the hole first because then I know I'm in charge. Because if you bite, and the hole is somewhere where you don't know. That hole could be aiming anywhere. It could be aiming into your lap. It could be aiming up in the side of your face, up into your hair. And as we know, hot jam, and what it sort of sauces it, we've had this before.
Yeah, it's applesauce.
It's applesauce.
Yeah.
It's very hot and can burn you. So I bite the hole first, but I try not to take in all the jam. I try to ration it from that point onward. Because I like to have, in my last bite, a little bit of jam on the end.
Well, yeah.
Just a little bit.
We revealed it. It was actually made the papers when I was on a radio show and someone rang up with a trade secret that hot jam donuts is actually apple sauce that's flavoured because the jam has the wrong consistency or something. So,
yeah,
and then it was reported in the paper that this was a big thing.
Well, it is big news.
It's huge news. But there's other donuts apart from, I mean, hot jam donuts are fantastic. There's no doubt about it.
You got your iced. Oh.
Yeah. There's all these trendy new donut places like All Day Donuts and
I know.
That you find in the inner city areas of every major city. And there's one near us and they do like Kit Kat donuts and they have all Kit Kat and stuff. And you go, oh, what's this going to be like? But you have them and they are still really good. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know. The base is strong. I dare say you could probably make donuts. You're pretty
good. No, but donuts are fried. They're fried.
So it's deep. What is it makes it so bad for you?
Deep fried.
Deep frying, yeah?
It's deep fried. So it's not like a coffee scroll, for example, or a vanilla slice, which are baked. These are actually
fried.
Deep fried.
I must admit, when you go past, you say, can I have a hot one, please? And then they go to the machine and you see the oil and you see the gunk go into it and then you see the arm come up and flip it over. You go, I'd rather not see that.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
It's like you're seeing the slaughtering. I don't want to see the sheep slaughtered before I eat it. I just want the meat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thought of it is pretty horrible. So it's the oil that's bad for it. Is a lot of sugar in there as well?
Oh, there must be. And you know, what's your view on churros, which is the Spanish donut, the long strip of donut?
Oh, they're not bad. They're the like corkscrew ones, aren't they?
Yeah, and you dip them in
chocolate. They're okay. They're usually a bit. I find them a bit dry. I'm more of a fluffy guy. I like moisture and I like a bit of density as opposed to it feels like it's been pushed down too hard. Look, don't get me wrong, if there's some going, I've had those, they're kind of, it was a kind of trendy finger food thing to have at some function sometimes.
Mate, you're not gonna kick them out of bed if they farted, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, if there's some going.
One of the most revolting sayings ever. You're not gonna kick them out of bed if they farted. Hey, what about this one, though? Getting back to our childhood, the pineapple donut. Remember the pineapple donut?
No, that was pineapple because it was...
No, it was covered in like a pineapple icing. Glaze. Yeah, like a glaze. Not really an icing, more like a glaze. And it was very much... school canteens had the pineapple donut.
Was that was that Jiffy?
Yeah, it could have been. Yes, Jiffy. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And they were great. And then they sold them in the 7-Elevens and stuff for a while. And the pineapple donut... In the 80s was big. Pineapple donut thing. Oh,
yeah.
So good.
So that'd be one of the things you'd be sitting at in the quadrangle eating a donut and you go, can I have a bite? And they were big enough to sort of let someone have a bite, weren't they?
Yeah, but you not could, too much of a bite.
Nuts.
Remember when kids, you'd have a bag of chips and say some chips and then they'd, a bloody gorilla grip because you're hanging onto the bottom, you're squeezing all that. I still remember the day my older brother Mark and his mates broke into the canteen. And stole a big box of Twisties and distributed them on the oval to everyone. That was a great
day.
Socialism work.
Now, I reckon slightly overrated are your Krispy Kreme.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember when they first came, we live in Melbourne, as people may know, and I don't think there was a Melbourne outlet for Krispy Kreme.
No.
But there was one in Sydney.
Yeah.
And people would fly to Sydney.
Yes.
And bring home a box.
The box of
and it's like they were bringing home, it was like you were meeting them up the oval with Twisties.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, guess what? So-and-so's got a box of Krispy Kremes. You better come round now.
It was like duty free.
Yeah. It was a bit, and I think people still do it to a certain extent.
You know, Krispy Kreme you can get in 7-Elevens these days. So I read about their whole marketing strategy. It was really interesting. So they set themselves off as being exclusive to airports. And then now they're everywhere, though, Krispy Kremes. You can get them in a lot of places now.
I read somewhere that it's the equivalent, one Krispy Kreme is like one Big Mac. It's like the amount of, like the way they cook them is somehow different, which I don't, I remember reading it, but I don't know what it was. But it seems to me your average donut is health food compared to a Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme is a heavy hitter. I mean, it was very light.
Yes.
I had it.
Fluffy.
Quite light. But was it?
They're fluffy. They're a bit fluffy-ish, fluffy, sort of.
Yeah. And, of course, there's all the different versions. But I found, like, one bite was enough.
Yeah.
You didn't need – if you belt – I had a whole one. You get that real guilt smash, you know, about 5 minutes later.
The original Krispy Kreme's all right. I don't mind the original, but I haven't had it for years now.
What would your standard sitting be of, say, if you went to the football, what would your standard sitting of a donut be? Would you have one? Would you have two? Would you have four? Would you have...
Well, I know we've talked about Lawrence Mooney before, how he talks about, and there was that great photo of him. I think he used it in a poster of him with the jam donuts from the market. And he had six, didn't he?
He had a sitting of six, which I found was incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would love to have six, but I just couldn't live past the guilt.
Look, last time I went to the footy with the kids, I had one, but I also had chips and a dim sim. So if I was just, I would get two probably, whereas in the past I would have got three, but now, I would limit myself to one or two.
And I know you talk about this with Kitty Flanagan.
Yeah.
Dunking, because there's a thing in the States, Dunking, that's a place called Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Dunkin' Donuts.
See, she's like you. She's a dunker, because I'm not a dunker. And I said, because we communicate a lot via text message about what junk food we're eating, because she's a junk food fiend.
She's an expert on lollies like you, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, I finally met my match. And anyway, but she started talking about dunking, and I said, look, I'm not a dunker. You've got to talk to Glenn Robbins, because you're a dunker.
I'm a dunker. Yeah, I dunk probably at least once a day. And during the isolation, I don't tend to eat biscuits because they're not good for you, but I do have a packet of biscuits, and it's my afternoon treat to dunk a biscuit.
Into what?
Into a coffee.
Yeah, okay. Right, yeah. Because I don't drink coffee, so I've certainly dunked before in Milo, but with a teddy bear. I do understand. If you get a chocolate teddy bear and dunk it in a hot drink, it starts to melt, and it is really nice.
Yeah, but that's been quite exotic. Having a chocolate teddy bear dunked, because you get all sorts of things happening with your chocolate running down. And Teddy doesn't like it because it's like he's taking his clothes off. He's pulling his pants down, so to speak.
Do you reckon they're original teddy bears that are just covered in chocolate? Or they have specially made ones?
No, they'd be just normal teddy bears.
Are they the rejects? And they just go, we're going to cover those ones in chocolates. No one will know the defects.
What is a reject teddy? Surely it'd be a broken leg or something, or a broken ear or something. So you would notice it in the mat. No. I reckon it's just they line all the teddies up and they say, you are special. You are going to be not your normal teddy. You're going to be dipped and you're going to be presented on a plate, not just randomly eaten late at night in front of the telly. So now
for the people at home, you're now sitting on the floor of the in front of the. I have to take a photo and put on Facebook. You're just relaxing.
Oh, I can't get to the spot that I normally do it because the baby's asleep in there. So I'm sitting on my bedroom floor, and after a while, so I'm moving around, getting in different positions.
For people that have just tuned in, Glenn hasn't got a new wife with a new baby, which is quite common in our age group sometimes.
Yes.
That's your grandkid.
No. Yeah, that's right. I'd show you photographs, but I reckon, it's not appropriate to show. Because the kids don't get a choice in the matter.
I know.
You can't.
I know. And you have that thing with celebrities. They put their kids on every internet, Instagram thing. And then occasions like when Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin's kid gets to an age where Apple goes to her parents, you've got to stop doing it because it's embarrassing. And that's because that kid's been put in the media since she was a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know Renee Zellweger? She apparently would eat 20 donuts a day to put on weight for, what was that movie? Bridget Jones's Diary.
Oh, yeah. She was great in that.
She had to put on. Because, I mean, this is a bit of a touchy question. Now I've actually backed myself into a corner here.
How many donuts did I eat for the nugget? Someone actually asked me if I put on weight for the role in that movie. I said no, I was just fat. I interviewed Renee Zellweger once in a hotel room.
Did you really? Really?
Yes, Renee Zellweger.
Was she great?
Oh, she's a bit I'm getting a mix I'm getting a mix up with Jewel. I also interviewed Jewel, who looks a bit like her, and Jewel's the singer. Boyfriend came in at one point and didn't try to fight me. But he was wearing a cowboy hat. He's like a rodeo guy. He got quite aggressive.
Got a bit aggressive.
Jules, who's this guy in your hotel room? Jules like, he's interviewing me.
Has Jules got a missing tooth?
Yes.
She's got a missing tooth.
Yes.
Well, if she had a bit, so you didn't do Renee then?
No, I did Renee. Oh, that's the wrong thing to say. I did Renee. And Renee struck me as a classic Hollywood guarded actress who's been...
But she's
too many interviews, you know. I mean, too many press junkets.
Was she a little bit like that? I had a lot of fun doing the movie. I really like her. I think she's great. I've never met her.
Someone like Cameron Diaz was really. She was fun. So she's fun,
right?
Cameron Diaz.
But as you know, when you're promoting a movie, it's hard to be going at 100 for every interview you do.
As I know, yes.
As you know, I haven't done that many, but I've done a few. I mean, I've done stuff tours.
I enjoyed it.
And you do like 60 interviews in a day, and your head is absolutely spinning. Oh. You can't, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. I mean, I interviewed Harrison Ford, very angry, very grumpy. So you go, oh, well, fair enough. You're right. Yeah. He's done 60 interviews, and they're all.
Yeah, the but then again, the thing is, you might be angry. It's like, fair enough that you're angry. It's, well, if you don't want to do it, don't be here. Either do it and do it with some...
I know.
Or piss off. But don't bring me your attitude just because you're feeling a little bit tired. I mean, we're all tired.
We're all tired.
And you're no more special than anybody else.
The funniest one was the guy from Star Wars I interviewed. He's like a Canadian actor who was in one of the lesser popular movies. This was years ago, 10 years ago. And he was in the room, and the guy from Lucasfilm who owned Star Wars back in the day was lying on the bed in the other room yelling out stuff, so correcting him, you know. Okay. So I would go, so in the, you know, conquest of, no, that's wrong, it's not called the conquest, it was actually the blah, blah, blah.
God. Yeah. And you're going, seriously, you want to come over and do the interview? You don't? Well, shut up then.
Best guy to interview, best guy. My wife still calls him my boyfriend, Matt Damon. Best guy.
I have a vague recollection. I can't remember whether he was on the panel and I wasn't that night, or I was on that night and I met him. I'm going to go, I was on that night and I met him, and I'm going to say he was the nicest guy.
Really nice guy.
Really nice guy, and he was everything to everyone, and he didn't take himself too seriously. And
great guy.
Yeah.
But actually, I saw Richard E. Grant on the Graham Norton, and they're doing he's doing a show like this, like on Zoom, Graham Norton. And... You know Richard E. Grant? Yeah. Richard E. Grant's fantastic. Yeah. And I interviewed him. He was fantastic too.
I don't brag, but I did a movie with Richard E. Grant. He was in the Captain Kim movie.
He was.
Which you probably didn't see. Yeah. He's a lovely guy.
Did you see With Nail and I? You ever seen With Nail and I?
That's one of my favourite films.
Oh, I love that film. Yeah. I'm going to come back here, buy the place, and sack the lot of you. He's got some great quotes. Don't fight it, boy.
We've been paddling on.
Okay, we've got to move on to the steering wheel. Steering wheel.
Ever steered a ship?
I have.
With Sunday. I did it up with the Whit Sundays because I did it, as I've said, I think in this podcast before, I did a gig for someone up there on the Whit Sundays, and rather than pay me, they gave me a 3-day cruise on a Whit Sundays yacht with a captain and a first mate and a chef, and I took the family up there. And this one day, I was steering. What do? You're steering the ship? Is that the right way of saying it?
Yeah.
And I look out to my left, like, 10 foot away, a whale popped up.
Wow.
And it just went, psh.
Awesome.
It's probably an animatronic. But, fantastic.
Probably a dolphin.
Fantastic. Yeah, probably a dolphin. But no, it was really, really, really good.
Was it hard to steer a ship? Did it feel like?
Well, it was that day because the tide was going out, and I was looking at the land going, looking at an island going, didn't I see that island half an hour ago? same island, and we were just going backwards against the tide. So
was it power steering? Was it like power steering? Like you remember the old cars in the 70s? You had to really, you know, it was hard to steer them.
I think if you just press automatic, I think it kind of does the whole thing. And they let you think that you're steering. But I don't know how long it was, like 45 foot long. And fun. You're not a boat guy, are you, really?
No. I haven't been on that many boats in my life. I mean, I've been on ferries and stuff, but I've never been on a cruise ship, for example, apart from the 4 gigs I did on the Ruby Princess last month. And and no, I haven't been on many big ships. I quite like ships, though, but I've never been on them. So I don't think I've ever been in, what do they call it, the bridge with the wheel in there, isn't it? The bridge.
I did a surf cruise in the Maldives, and when I went up into the bridge and saw the whole thing, that was really good. That was not that I had a go, but it was just, as I said before, it's all done automatically. I remember being on the ferry once up in Sydney with the family, and we went up with another family, and we were going across the Manly, I think, and it was really, really rough.
Yeah.
And I said, come on, kids. And we'd packed our bags and we'd left them at the Circular Quay, thought we'll go for a ferry ride, come back, and then catch the train into the airport, and we'll go home. So I say, like an idiot, I go, come on, let's be brave. Let's go out and stand outside. And the waves were seriously big. We walked towards the bow. It was like we were hit with three massive bucket loads of water. We were completely drenched.
Really?
We had to go check back into the room, change clothes, get dried, have showers. You're a dickhead, Flint. But
when I was on Nova Radio, they took us to Sydney for some bonding thing with the Sydney team, which was like American Rosso and those guys. And we went out on a jet boat in the harbour where they just splashed through the waves. And like all the radio bosses going, oh, this is great. And we just got absolutely soaked.
You get soaked.
It was just the dumbest recreation ever. Stupid.
Yeah. Well, I used to work on a show called Tonight Live with Steve Izard.
I remember that.
You know, you got to do the thing where you're going to do the show from somebody else. And they go, let's do a show from a Sydney ferry. Oh, big mistake.
Yeah.
It was so boring. Yeah. And the best part was when someone else hired a boat that cruised along next to us, having this massive party with people basically appearing to do a lot of drugs and dancing around with no clothes on. And we're going, what's going on?
We should be on that boat.
Yeah, we're going, there's a lot better than being on Tonight Live on this boat. But yeah, it was just like people just drunk off their faces, naked, sailing around. It was just unbelievable.
Boats, you live near the bay, so there's a lot of boats down there. And yeah, I've done gigs at those yacht clubs. I did one of my last gigs was the Sandringham Yacht Club, which was great fun. No, they were great fun.
You do well down there. Are they your audience? Because they're a bit boat chewy and jumper over the shoulders, aren't they?
They are very jumper over the shoulder. But I always say, I always start with, hey guys, thanks for the parking spot you reserved. I've got an old Camaro, so I parked in the past Commodore spot.
Nailed it.
I say I've got an old Holden, that's what I say. Yeah, pass Commodore. But no, they love it. They're great. Because most of them, you think they're all wealthy, but they're not that wealthy. They're just normal people. There's a few rich people, admittingly, but they're a great audience.
I'm getting the feeling with this, it's a historical ship.
Yeah.
I'm getting a feel it's one of those big round ones with the knobs on, you know, they've got the knobs on the end of them. So it's, you know.
Let's have some thinking music. What can we have?
Oh, donuts. Yeah. Well, we could have, was it Mutiny on the Bounty? You've seen Marlon Brando playing.
Oh, yeah.
Christian, what's his name?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah.
What about something donuts? Donut, like cops and donuts.
Homer Simpson talking about donuts.
A donut
ad? Is there a donut? Dunkin' Donuts got an ad? What were we going to say?
Yeah, that Al Pacino one, which I thought was a real ad, but apparently it's from a movie where he does
It's from an Adam Sandler movie, I think.
Oh, it's very funny because you think, I
remember seeing that, and it's from an Adam Sandler movie, and I think he regrets it or something. I can't remember the whys or wherefores. But it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, but so basically,
doesn't he rap in it or something?
I think he does, and there's a dance routine and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's have a listen to that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Wow! Al Pacino!
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
What's my name?
Dunkachino.
It's a whole new game.
Dunkachino.
You want creamy goodness? I'm your friend. Say hello to my chocolate blend. Attica, hoo-ah, lottie light. This whole trial is out of sight. They pull me back in with hazelnut too. Caramel swirl, I know it was you. Everyone wants my Dunkachino. Can't get enough of my Dunkachino. Kids from 7 to 17 lining up for my Dunkachino. What's my name?
Dunkachino.
I Dunkachino.
Wow, Al Pacino. Song and dance, man.
Yeah.
It's funny when those guys like Christopher Walken does dancing and singing because that's what he started out doing.
He's great. Yeah. Well, when I saw that ad for the first time, it was a while ago now, I remember thinking it was a real ad. I'm thinking, geez.
So did I. Yeah.
Did he must have been doing it hard for money. Yeah. Well, if you're Dunkin' Donuts, would probably pay pretty well.
Yeah, but Al Pacino would have enough money, you'd hope so, unless he's had a recent divorce or something.
Yeah, of course.
Like you with your new kid, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Exactly.
We'll see you doing a Hungry Jack's commercial next week.
All of a sudden, yeah. All right. Do you want to have a go?
I think
this is really hard.
I know that a lot of things are invented on ships. I just think a lot of things are invented on ships because I remember when I did the TV show, not Spicks and Specks, as often is mentioned, 55 times, whatever, Randling. When I was on Randling. Remember Randling?
Yep.
It was a show that hosted
by Andrew with you when
Anthony Morgan.
Andrew Denton, yes. And you won, didn't you?
Never mentioned. The only time Randling has ever been mentioned to me when I did a gig in prison and one of the inmates said, what happened to Randling? And I said, mate, you're the only person I've ever met who watched it. So,
let's be honest. They got a bit of time.
They got a lot of time. Well, he said, it's either watch TV or lift weights. So, and other things. Anyway, and every every second word or phrase like slush fund, that's from the Navy. A lot of things happened at sea because there was we didn't have Jetstar 100 years ago, so that's how they used to travel around, was on boats. So I reckon donuts were invented on a boat, and I reckon they got the idea for the shape from the wheel. That's what I reckon. What do you reckon?
So you reckon the captain's gone, I want a cake.
Yeah.
And they would have had some oil sloshing around down below that they dipped the donuts in.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I reckon.
No, but also they may have made them offshore and brought them on because you'd reckon fried food would last a few days.
You know, a big box of donuts. Here you go. Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. Here's what I think. I reckon when the captain was up there steering, they would obviously, because you could be on that. You can be up there for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And they would bring food up to you. I mean, this is crazy. But you know the sticks that are on the knobs that are on the around the wheel?
Yeah.
I reckon they invented a cake that they could put on the knob of the wheel and just sit it there while he was steering. And that's why donuts have the holes. It sounds like you're making that up. But
no.
It could be something like that.
Yeah.
It could be.
Okay, let's get the answer.
Donuts were invented by Captain Hanson Crockett Gregory, born in the 1830s, who would take his mum's fried cakes and impale them on a spoke of the ship's steering wheel. However, he came forward 1916 to say that he didn't use the wheel to puncture the donuts, he used the top of a round tin pepper box to cut out the center. Hazelnuts or walnuts were often included in the center of the cakes by Mrs. Gregory, the captain's mother, though the dough often didn't cook through, so it was handy to remove the center and leave a hole in a literal-minded way. She called them donuts. Read the full story by following the links in the episode notes.
Oh, well, I was pretty close.
You were very close.
And so you reckon he's made the decision. He's gone, I've got a bit of cake, I'll punch a hole in it. Because it's no good anyway, and that's why donut. That's and they've gone, and now look at that. That's not a bad way to eat a bit of cake.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You wouldn't have thought donuts go back that far.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I've read about the history of donuts before. The history of donuts is disputed, but they reckon it's the Dutch brought fried donuts out to America, basically.
Oh, because I read that book recently, The Batavia. Ooh, that's a hell of a book.
Ooh.
That's where the Dutch ship comes out, yes. The Spice Run, and runs aground off Western Australia. There was a documentary on television the other night. Oh, it's quite a fun ride until they start absolutely slaughtering the crap out of one another.
Oh, no.
The captain goes off to find land, and they split up. It was like a really bad. It's like Survivor gone wrong. And then the leaders get then when the captain comes back, the leaders then they have to punish them.
Ooh.
And what they do if you because they go, oh, you're the guys, you know, you guys have messed it up for everybody.
Hmm.
What they do is this is horrible. They would hang them. But to make them suffer, they chop their right hand off first.
God.
They go, before we hang you, we're just going to chop your hand off.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast.
If you're enjoying a donut. And then, which when you think about it, and then I think if you were bad, you get one hand chopped off.
Yeah.
If you're really bad, you had both hands chopped off.
Oh, my God.
Which, you know, because when you are hanging, I suppose you could make a grab for the noose.
For the noose, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, no, that's...
But anyway, look, on that thought, I should... But I only thought of that because I read the book not so long ago.
Sounds like a good book. Geez.
Yeah, well, anyway...
I've got a joke about donuts.
You got a donut joke?
Yeah. So there's this baker in this little village, Poppy's Bakery, I think it was called, Popper's Bakery, and a very old man, famous for his donuts, famous for his pies, and his grandson's always begging him, Papa, I wanna watch you make... the pies. I want to watch you make your famous pies. No, son, you can't. So anyway, one day the grandson hides in the sacks of flour and watches his granddad make the pies. And he sees him, you know, beautifully craft the dough and heat up the meat and put it in the pie. And he puts a lid on the pie. And then to make the indentations around the pie, you know, those little indentations, he takes out his false teeth and he presses on the side. And the kid is shocked and disgusted, and he pops out of the flour sacks and goes, Granddad, Poppy, you can't, that is disgusting. You can't be doing that. He goes, this is how I've done it for years. He goes, that's awful. He goes, well, don't come back tomorrow when I'm making the holes in the donut.
I'd forgotten that. That's a great joke.
That's a great one.
Oh, Poppy.
Well, Poppy.
No. Don't make me eat the donuts again, Poppy. Please. I know.